Hey. This is Mr. Z, the Clever Minds Radio Talk Show. Good morning. Welcome in on a beautiful Friday in Las Vegas, Nevada. Let's do this puppy right. Good morning. How are we doing today, folks? Hope everyone's doing well. I got a little reverberation there. I'm sorry about that. Good morning, folks. This is Mr. Z with the Clever Minds Radio Talk Show here on bbsradio.com. I'm also on Ustream TV. It's reverberating again. So how are we doing today, folks? I had someone critiquing me and saying things were kind of messed up. It's going to work. I'm working it out, so bear with me. How are we doing today? We have an exciting author today, Branding Yourself with Eric Dickers. And we also have the lovely lady sharing in. And I've got a text coming in from the BBS radio. Let's find out what's going on here. I'm learning all this stuff new again, folks. Deckers is on line one. That's good to know. All righty then. So we're going to get this puppy started today, folks, because I've got things to do, people to see, and I want to get exciting information out there today for you out in the audience. And this gentleman right here is the author of Branding Yourself, and we're going to have him in today. He's going to tell us some things about branding yourself. Reason why I wanted him on is that for business people here on BBS Radio, about branding yourself is this. It comes in different dynamics of how what you got to do with yourself and the things that you need to accomplish in order to get nothing into social media and a lot of things like that, the pros and cons, the negatives, the upside, the downside. And this man, he's an expert. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to get into the meat of the show. And I'm going to say good morning, Eric. How you doing, sir?
Good morning. I'm fine.
Thank you for being on the show today. I'm getting an echo, but I got to figure out what's going on here. Eric, tell us who you are, sir.
Well, I own a company called Professional Blog Service, and we are a corporate blogging and social media agency. But I am also, like you said, the co-author of Branding Yourself, Using Social Media to Invent or Reinvent Yourself. So I do a lot of speaking and consulting for people about social media and personal branding.
Oh, okay. And what prompted you to write this book, sir?
Well, I had helped my friend Kyle, who's the other author of the book, helped him write Twitter Marketing for Dummies. And so we wanted to do another project together, and he said, you know what, we need to write the book that was for you, the guy that you were 3 years ago. And 3 years ago, I had left employment with the State Health Department, the Indiana State Health Department, and got into a job in sales and marketing. And I realized I didn't know anybody in town. I knew one guy, and that was the guy who helped me get the job because my new employer was his client. So I couldn't very well call him up and tell him about all our services. So I had to go out and do a lot of networking on my own, and I did it both online using social media tools like LinkedIn and Twitter and a local network called Smaller Indiana, but then also offline doing Chamber of Commerce and networking groups like Rainmakers and other business-to-business networking channels. So I developed a whole strategy and actually became somewhat well-known around town, and a lot of people knew who I was, and they were calling me for advice on blogging and on social media and asking me to speak. And so Kyle said, we need to write the book that is the plan that you followed over the last 3 years.
I'm listening. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Tasty I've got a commercial came in on my that one. Kellogg's Fiber Plus cereal. You there?
Yeah, I'm Hello. Here. I'm still here.
Okay, I'm sorry. I had a commercial come in on my Ustream. Shouldn't have came in. and I apologize about that. This is internet radio, so I'm doing the best that I can here. But Eric, one reason why I wanted you on, tell us, social media has taken a whole new level in society, you know, in every dynamics way. Like Charlie Sheen just got like 25 million tweets the other day. What's the phenomenon with social media?
Well, there's a number of things. One is that as we have more adoption of broadband, there's a lot of stuff that's easier to do on the internet. We can watch movies, we can watch TV, we can do phone calls. I'm actually calling you over Skype, which is an internet telephone service. We can do a lot of these things because of broadband, and so it makes it easier for people to participate. It also helps that the social networks are making it easier for people to use. You don't have to do any kind of programming or any kind of tweaking. You can basically just create an account and start using it. And then those same networks also make it easy for you to tell your friends about it. You know, it's just a matter of loading up your address book, and they even make that simple. And so you tell your friends, and your friends see that, hey, you're on here, so I'm going to try this out, and then they're going to join, and they're going to tell their friends by uploading their address book. And so adoption becomes something that happens very quickly. So you know, quick adoption, easy use, and just fast internet speeds, I think, has grown the entire social networking phenomenon as we know it now.
Well, let's go back to the basics. How did social media start off?
When you look at the long history of social media, a lot of people think it started with Facebook, but there were even networks before Facebook. But before that, we had America Online, and we had eWorld and CompuServe and Prodigy, and all of those places were communities where we could connect with people who liked what we liked, who did what we did. We couldn't find those people before that. If you collected beer cans, I used to collect beer cans when I was a kid, and even joined the Beer Can Collectors of America. I was 12 years old. My parents were supplying me with empty beer cans. And the only way I had heard about that was because my mom knew one guy who collected beer cans, and I didn't know anybody else who did that. But you fast forward to the days of AOL, now you could find those people. You could find people who like writing, or you could find people who like certain kinds of music, or they like certain kinds of theater. And so take that a farther step back to the days of the Usenet, which was fairly popular on college campuses in the 90s. And there you could find bulletin board systems where people could talk to each other about their favorite topics. Again, movies, music, hobbies, sports, whatever. You could socialize with those people online. So we really go back almost 20 years with what social networking is and what it's become.
Now, Eric, is social networking just based for the internet, or is there anything else that social media it could be done? Is it just on the internet, or is it any other aspect?
Social networking itself is pretty much limited to the internet, but how you access that is different. You can use your laptop, you can use your mobile phone. When you get into more of the off-world networking, then that becomes a matter of going to networking events or special meetings or associations you belong to, or even just one-on-one networking with somebody in a coffee shop.
Oh. Okay, then let's get to the meat of this. This here today is a business show somewhat, what this segment is. And I really want to know, okay, the foundation, the fundamentals of a business doing social media, why is it so important? Should they do it? Should they put it in their budget? Or is there a time to start it or a time to stop it?
I think the first question is the easiest one to answer, and that's yes, the businesses should be doing it. Gary Vaynerchuk, who wrote a book called Crush It, had said about Twitter, but it really applies to all of social media, if you're in the camp who thinks that social media is stupid, you're going to lose. There are a crap load of people on it, and it's free. Basically, he said it's free communication to the people who are already on there. So Twitter is free, Facebook is free, LinkedIn is free, writing a blog post is free. It's all free, and there's millions of people who are using it. So only the businesses who don't want to find customers online in a cheap but effective form of communication, they're the ones who shouldn't be on it, mostly because they're going to be closing soon. Time to stop using it? That almost depends on the business. I think if they find that they're letting social media replace other stuff they've been doing, they stopped their traditional marketing and use social media, I think that's a sign of trouble. I don't think social media can replace what traditional marketing is, but it should be another tool in that toolbox.
Should they put it in their budget when they're doing a business plan?
Yes. For smaller businesses, like I said, it is free, so the budget's going to be very small. Your time management schedule might be a little bit different, but you can put this in as a small item. For bigger businesses, they need to make a bigger splash. And this isn't necessarily something you want to turn over to the 20-year-old intern or the new hire because you think social media is for kids. It's for, it's for everybody. We have people of all ages using it, but it also needs to be somebody who has some more experience and some understanding of the business world and maybe some more maturity to manage the social media practice. And so you're going to be looking, especially for bigger businesses, at things like having a professional with some years of experience, and you've got their salary. There are social media monitoring tools. There are some top-notch tools, but they cost a few $100 a month. And so there are some associated costs with that.
Yeah, because I got somebody recently that I had that was going to do my social media, and they didn't take it serious. It's not playtime when you do social media, is it? No,
not at all. This is probably one of the most public-facing and permanent things that a company can do. And, there's story after story of businesses that behave badly on social media because they don't know how to handle it. They've got somebody who gets into an argument with customers. They have somebody who, just behaves badly toward one particular customer, or they get a little dictatorial on their platforms. Who was it? It was, I believe, Nestle got into an argument with customers because they were using they've taken logos and basically just changed them around for parody, and whoever it was said, please don't do this with our logos. They are copyrighted trademarks. And the customers who were on there doing this got into a big pissing match with Nestle. Nestle came out on the bad end of that. They never identified who the person was, but I would guess that it was somebody who didn't have that maturity to deal with angry customers. And
Eric, tell us who you are again. I want people to know who you are and how to get in touch with you. And if you can help anybody in the audience, I would love to be able to give you a call.
People are going
to
write about this for the rest of the world to see.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Can you let people know who you are and how to get in touch with you?
Sure. My name is Eric Deckers. It's E-R-I-K-D-E-C-K-E-R-S. And you can find me on Twitter at edeckers. You can also just do a Google search for Eric Deckers. Or if you go to problogservice.com, you can find my work blog, and there are different ways to get a hold of me there.
Now, here we go. Social media. Let's talk about it this way. Okay. Facebook, MySpace, the pros and cons of MySpace and Facebook.
I would almost take those two separately. One of the reasons is MySpace is having all kinds of troubles. They are kind of a sinking ship in the social media world. They also have the reputation, whether it's earned or not, that that's where the teenagers and the pedophiles go. You know, it's kind of the running joke in social media circles. I don't really recommend that for most people who are trying to make a positive imprint on their personal brand. However, what MySpace is being used for pretty effectively is when they're trying to reach teenagers. So bands who have a teenage audience or movies that are geared toward younger audiences, MySpace actually is a good place for them to be. As far as Facebook goes, that's kind of the big giant. That's the one major social network that most people know and understand, and it's a safe place to be. It's a good place for people to interact with people on a personal level. So that's the big pro. The con is that people run into all kinds of problems when they post things that probably shouldn't have been made public, you know, like spring break photos or photos of somebody doing a keg stand or, you know, a big rant against the government or a particular group of people. That stuff stays permanent. Even if you delete it, it's still out there and people can find it. And so from a personal brand standpoint, if you've got somebody you don't want to see that side of your life, you shouldn't be putting it on Facebook.
Okay. Now, say I want to start a business and I want to use a tool to get my customers to see me. How do you market people to come to you on your Facebook or whatever social media aspect you want to do? Because if you don't know them, you can't go knock on their door. How are you going to get them to come see where you're at or get in touch with them?
Well, I would start with a couple of different things. The first thing I would do is to start up a blog. And this is, let's take this from a consultant's point of view or the small business solo entrepreneur. You want to be seen as the expert with the solutions for people. And so the best place to demonstrate that is on a blog. Whether you're writing articles or you're producing video content, basically you want to answer questions, you want to tell people what's going on in the industry and solve some of the problems in that industry. Then you need to start going out and finding who are my ideal customers, who are going to be the readers and the consumers of this content. And so if you have a B2B solution, a business-to-business solution, you're not going to find them on Facebook. You know, Facebook's the personal tool. It's used for downtime. It's not used for business. So instead, you want to go to LinkedIn and create a LinkedIn profile and start connecting with people who are in your industry. You also want to do that with Twitter. Go to twitter.com and create a profile. And again, start connecting with people who are in your industry. And you'll find those people when you go to their LinkedIn page. A lot of them will have a link to their Twitter page. And so connect with them on LinkedIn, follow the link to the Twitter page, connect with them on Twitter. Once you've started creating this content, once you've started building your network, you want to tell your network, I've got a new blog post up. You know, I've got the five most important things you need to know when hiring a car mechanic, or the five most important things you need to know when finding a new web server. And let your network know what it is you've done, and they will come to your content. They'll show up at your blog, they'll read it, they'll share it with other people in their network. Those people will continue to come back and share it with those people in their networks, and your own network will continue to grow. So it's an ongoing process. It's not as something that you can set and forget. You do have to continue with this on a regular basis.
So what I'm really trying to understand is this, Eric. Okay, I'm Joe Smoke. All right, I just opened A through Z business. Okay, now, I don't know any of my customers out in my community. And then I don't know if they blog or whatever the case may be. How am I really going to get them to see who I am?
Well, the best thing to do is to identify who is that ideal customer. And so let's say that you do custom embroidery for small businesses. So you start the blog, and like we discussed, and you go onto LinkedIn, and you can do a search on LinkedIn for people who work at businesses that, you know, that are small businesses in your area. So you could do a whole search for, you know, I live in Indianapolis. I can do that whole search in Indianapolis for small businesses. I can go on to, there's a website called Twello, which is short for Twitter Yellow Pages. But I go to Twello, and I can do a local search for people in my area, and I can start following those people. And once I follow those people on Twitter, once I connect with them on LinkedIn, those people get an email that says, hey, Eric just started following you, and you can click here and go see what Eric is all about. And so they come to my Twitter page or they come to my LinkedIn profile, and they accept that connection, and then they start receiving my content as I put it out. So, yeah, now, I have to go to where my customers are. I have to find what cities they're going to be in, and I locate them based on that.
All right. Now, here we go. With the social media aspect, can you really make money if you don't have a business with social media?
There are a couple ways that people are making money from social media. Like if you do what I do, you know, I'm consulting, and I make my money by doing work for other people. There are people who they have a successful blog or network where they can market and advertise, and they sell products that way. The only other way I've seen people make money on Twitter is they sell reports on how to make money on Twitter. And the report is basically telling you to set up a big, huge network and advertise a report on how to make money on Twitter. So it becomes rather circular there.
I got you. Real quick, I need to take a break to let somebody know I have a lady that's going to be on momentarily.
Okay,
Susanna, she's going to be there. I want to say hi to her real quick and let her know that I haven't forgotten about her. Susanna, you there?
Here, Mr. G.
Okay, I'll be with you shortly, but I just want to make sure that you recognize that you're there. But I'm going to finish talking with Eric. Eric, now tell me this.
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Now, branding yourself, and you say you brand yourself wrong. Can you recover if you brand yourself wrong, sir?
Yes. Yes, you can.
How?
It depends on what you did, I suppose I should start with it. You know, if it's a little mistake you made, that's fine. You know, I compare Twitter to a river. If you throw a stick into the river and you decide, you know, I didn't want to do that. I don't want that stick in there. If you wait long enough, that stick's just going to float downstream. You're not going to see it anymore. And Twitter works the same way. If you put out a tweet that you wish you hadn't, it will go away. If you made a bigger mistake, that, you know, something that's rather embarrassing and you wish you hadn't done it, you have to apologize for it. And you have to apologize as publicly as possible and maybe someplace permanent, so that if it was a big enough goof, you can direct people to that even months later when they say, you know, I saw this thing that you said, and you can say, well, go to this blog post and you can see my apology. If you make a horrible mistake, that may be a little more difficult to recover from. That's going to take months and even years. And I'll give you a great example. Here in Indiana last week, we had a situation where a deputy attorney general had tweeted that he thought police should use live ammunition against the Wisconsin protesters. Actually tweeted that out. It got picked up by Mother Jones Magazine, and they wrote a big article about it and sent it to the attorney general. He got it on a Wednesday morning. They investigated that morning, and by Wednesday afternoon, the guy had been fired.
Oh, man, really?
Do a Google search for this guy's name. It will pop up. This article pops up, the news about him being fired will pop up, and that's something that he's going to have a hard time recovering from. I mean, like I said, it could take months or even a couple years before people quit associating his name with that.
Got you. That does make sense. Yes, it does. Now, with the with the social media climate the way it is today, do you feel that we're going to start getting some information from the social media aspect that's not quite credible, like TMZ and things like that? People will start going to social media where the people who are not really have true credentials about what they're doing, or people like us, or me and you, are going to be getting our information from social media. Do we have to really watch that?
There is some of that already, where people are putting out fake information. And that was the fear that people had with bloggers, 8-10 years ago. And it's just a matter of people doing their research rather than just blindly accepting whatever comes through. That was even the problem 15 years ago when we started getting websites and people started putting up fake stories and misinformation. People had to filter out what was bad and what was good on their own. We didn't really have anybody to tell us this is good, this is not. So, we're starting to do that with blogs now, and we have reputable news sources that are giving us information. And we're filtering out what's bad and what's good. And I think we're going to start doing that with social media accounts and identities as well. You know, these people we can trust, these people we can't trust.
Gotcha. Folks, I am Mr. Z. This is the Clever Minds Radio Talk Show. We're here on BBS Radio Live with Eric Deckers, Branding Yourself. I am a lovely day here in Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm happy to see you. You can catch me on Ustream TV as well, Clever Minds Live. You can catch me here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'm thinking about going to Tuesdays as well, too. Here, if anybody calls in today and want to call in at 1-888-815-9756 or go to the webpage, bbsradio.com, I have a book from Eric, and I will mail it out to you or wherever you're at. Just give me a call and give Eric any questions and let me know if you want Eric to help you. I'm sure he would love to help you. I think the business is going to be great because I'm going to utilize it myself to help me with the social media aspect. What do you want to let people know about your book and branding yourself, Eric?
Well, I think one of the biggest things is that we did try to make this as more of a strategy and a playbook, and here are steps that people can follow. We gave examples of fictional characters we created and how they could use something, usually to find a job or usually to help promote their personal brand. This is less focused on theory and more focused on practical application. And so anybody who's looking for a new job, they're looking to change jobs, they're looking to kind of grow their new business, they just started becoming a consultant and they want to launch that aspect of their career, this really is the book for them. It's not only for new graduates, new college graduates. Dan Schaubel did a great job on that with Me 2.0, geared a great social media book for that recent college grad. We wanted to go after the older professional, somebody who's in their 30s and older.
Okay, now, here we go. This is what I get out of the book, folks, where I turn a negative into a positive. The negative aspect that I thought about social media was this. A lot of people are out there like Perez Hilton and a lot of people doing social media and tweeting things like that. Some of that stuff is fun. But here's the realization of things. Social media is a very powerful tool. It can make you or break you. It can make you happy. It can make you sad. But let's realize one thing. It is what it is. It's simplicity at its greatest. It's just communication, folks. And if you take it too serious, I think you get lost. But if you don't take it serious enough, you can lose yourself in a realm of a lot of chaos. I think Eric's book will help you get through the pitfalls of what branding yourself is all about. And one reason why I came across this book, I'm branding myself right now with the Clever Minds Radio Talk Show, where I'm bringing people to the forefront and business and things of that nature. Now, Eric, when branding yourself, can you brand yourself in different aspects, not just one aspect? Like if you say you can diversify and still brand yourself in different ways and be identified in different realms?
Oh, sure. I do that all the time. Even to the basic, you know, most basic level, where I mix personal Eric and work Eric. You know, some people ask me, should I have a separate identity and a separate account for my work side and my personal side? And I always tell people, no, you shouldn't. But you do need to know that one audience might not want to hear as much of the other message. And so I do have to balance both of those worlds, where I may talk about what my family and I are doing on a weekend, and I'll put that on my Twitter account, even though I know a lot of my work colleagues and people in my industry are going to see that. But they also understand that, you know, we're individual people who have families, because they do the same thing. And I'm willing to learn that a little bit more about them. Similarly, if I post a message to Facebook about something work-related, something that I'm excited about, like a new book, or, you know, I'm going to be speaking at a conference, I hope that my personal friends understand that I have a work life, and that's how I make my living. And I make sure that I don't go too far one way or the other with that type of message. But even branding myself in different ways, one of the things that I like to do for fun is I write humor columns. I'm a humor writer on the side, and I share that kind of information and that kind of content with both of my work and personal worlds again, so they know me not only as a social media consultant, or they know me not only as a book author, but as the humor writer.
I will even
cross-promote my humor work to my work world, and I'll talk about work subjects to my fellow humor writers to kind of help them build their own careers.
Okay. Now, here we go. How much time should anybody spend on a social media trying to brand themselves? How many hours should that work out? I mean, I don't want to overdo it. I don't want to be at the computer, like, be at the computer in the morning, be at the computer at night, be at the computer at lunchtime. Give me statistically, how much time should you update or get into the social media aspect of branding yourself? Is it a day-to-day basis? Is it an hourly basis? Is it a weekly basis? Or is it a monthly basis?
It can't be a monthly thing. You can't do it once a month. You can't even, in a lot of cases, even do it once a week. Once a day is fine. I usually tell people 30 minutes a day, especially when you're starting out. Like if you're learning to use Twitter, your first 30 minutes is going to be spent setting up your network, uploading your photo, uploading your address book, and connecting with those people. That'll take you 30 minutes. And when you're done, you're done. And then when you first learn to tweet and to retweet and to, you know, what does a hashtag mean? When you learn these things, that may take you 30 minutes on your second day, but at the end of the 30 minutes, you're done again. You will reach the point after a while that you get so good at it that 30 minutes is way too much time. You know, I can write a single tweet and send it out in 20 seconds. And if I do 30 minutes a day of that, that's 90 tweets. That's way too much stuff. People are going to get sick of me. And so, you know, I back down my Twitter writing time to about 10 minutes. And then I spend another 10 minutes reading things. But that's not even 10 minutes in one block. That's 10 minutes throughout the day where I jump over to Twitter and I do a quick scan, and then I go back to what I was doing. And then, you know, half hour later, I jump back over, send out a tweet, do another quick scan, and go back to what I was doing. The danger is, at least for me, this stuff is just so much fun. If I do 30 minutes, it's a lot of time just spent reading and looking at other people's stuff and following these little rabbit trails down, you know, somebody's blog who leads to somebody else's blog and leads to their Twitter account, and I read that and I go back and, you know, just on and on and on. It becomes a big distraction for me. I actually have to kind of cut back a little bit at times when I'm working on projects.
Okay.
But it could be even an hourly thing if you want to spend that much time on it. And
gotcha.
This is the channel, the one avenue you're growing your business or growing your career, you want to do more than 3 minutes a day. You want to do maybe even a couple hours a day.
Okay. Now, should you do it in the morning time? Should you do it in the afternoon, or should you do it in the evening?
Yes. All of those. Like I said, if you do 30 minutes a day, you don't have to do it as a block. You just do it throughout the day. And so maybe that means 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes right after lunch, and 10 minutes in the evening.
Okay. Now, here we go. I got a couple questions, and I've got to get to my next author. But I want to ask you a question. I'm going to give you a couple of scenarios, and you tell me how these would apply with social media. Real estate.
Okay.
Being a broker or real estate agent. How would social media work with that?
For a real estate agent, unless they cover an entire city, if we're talking about somebody in a larger city like Las Vegas or Kansas City or Indianapolis, they should focus on a neighborhood and become a specialist in that neighborhood. Now, that's not where they should limit the houses that they buy and sell, but that should be the neighborhood that they are known for. And so they could write a blog about their neighborhood. And I used to live in a historic neighborhood here in Indianapolis, filled with history, and I would have loved to see a realtor write a blog about Irvington. That was the name of the neighborhood. Write a blog about Irvington, and, you know, one day it's about the development of Irvington. The other, you know, the next day it's about a historic person who lived or died in Irvington. This particular store used to be this when it first started out, or, you know, we had something famous happen here. So when they become that expert on Irvington, and they are tweeting out and putting out Facebook or LinkedIn messages about Irvington, and I decide that's where I want to move, I want to call the person who knows the most about it. I want to call them for two reasons. One is I know they know the most about it, but two, I figured that out because they popped up on a Google search.
Okay.
All of that work is going to have them be found higher on the search engines. So if I find them on Google and I learn that they know a lot about that neighborhood, social media is going to benefit them in that way.
Okay, now here we go. Here's the second one. Let's make them quick, okay? The second one is this. How about the restaurant business? How would it work in the restaurant business?
Restaurant business, I would find the entry on Foursquare. Go to foursquare.com and claim your listing. Go to Google Local and claim your listing. Just go to google.com and do a search for Google Local and claim that listing. Those are two ways that people can find restaurants. The other thing that they need to look at is how can they do more mobile. 2011, Google declared was the year of mobile phones. And so if I'm out in a new city and I'm looking for a restaurant, I don't find a Wi-Fi spot and pull out my laptop. I pull out my mobile phone and I look for a place in my immediate area. And restaurants can really take advantage of Google Local, Foursquare, even Twitter, to reach a local audience.
Okay. Now, here's the next one. How about like a mom and pop, say, cleaners or a mechanic?
Okay. I would do the Foursquare and the Google Local again, but then I would also go to Twello.com and find the people who are in my area. And if it's possible, even drill down and find the people who are within just a few miles of me, especially like a dry cleaner in a downtown location. You probably get a lot of walk-in suit business from the people who need a suit press before their next conference. Start doing Google searches for people who work in those companies and are on Twitter, or go to Twello.com and do a search for those names, or even just do a Twitter search for people who are at those companies and start following them and start letting them know that you have those kinds of services available.
Okay, now here's the next one. How about authors or motivational speakers such as myself or people who want to do podcasts? How can they utilize it?
This is perfect. I've been doing this myself. I find the niche that I want to focus on. You know, what is it I want to do? And since I want to do a lot of public speaking, I'm trying to find people who book public speakers. And so I go out and start finding those folks on Twitter and on LinkedIn and making those connections with them. I've even gone so far as on my Twitter application, I use something called TweetDeck, which you can get at TweetDeck.com. And I've created a column of people who are in the industry or in the geographic area that I want to focus on. I pay attention to what they're talking about. I answer their questions. I provide valuable information to them so that they know who I am and they know what I do, so that when they need a speaker with my particular expertise, they're going to remember me. and they're going to inquire about hiring me for their next event.
Gotcha. Now, Eric, tell us who you are and how to get in touch with you, please.
Okay, my name is Eric Deckers, E-R-I-K-D-E-C-K-E-R-S. You can go to ericdeckers.com and find my humor column, or you can go to problogservice.com and find my work blog. I talk about blogging and social media there. You can follow me at edeckers on Twitter. And, of course, you can connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm the only Eric Deckers in the country.
All right, Eric, if you would mind, could you stay with me to the end of the hour? I have an office coming on, and I want to ask you a couple more questions in case somebody might ask you some questions, things like that. Will you be okay with that?
Sure, I'd be fine.
Oh, all right, thank you very much. And I'm going to go to my next author, folks. Susan, Anna, how are you doing this morning, ma'am?
I'm doing great, Mr. Z. How about yourself?
I am doing blessed. Thank you for being on the show today. I'm sorry to keep you on hold. Eric has a wealth of information, but
really
I want to make sure I got
Eric
you, and I will have you back on again this Sunday as well on the other radio station, right?
That's great.
Okay, as well. So tell us who you are, please, and tell us why about this book, please.
Okay, my name is Suzanne Alexander Heaton, and I've written the book, The ABC Field Guide to Fairies. And so I'm a children's author, I'm a motivational speaker, and I'm also a fundraiser. I use the book to do fundraising for various worthy causes.
What fundraisers do you do it for, if I could ask?
Sorry, could you repeat that question?
Yeah, no, I'm just wondering, what kind of fundraiser, I mean, who do you contribute to?
Really good question. Basically, the whole idea of the book is it's to inspire reminders, respect for ourselves, each other, and the environment. So any organizations that align with the mission statement of the book, I partner with. So, for example, I've raised over $15,000 to date with the sale of the book, and over $2,500 has gone to the United Way campaign, and over $2,000 has gone to Kids Cancer Care. And a lot of money has gone to schools for either libraries or recycling projects, that sort of thing.
What inspired you to write this particular book, if I could ask?
Absolutely, you can ask. Actually, it was inspired by my friend's 12-year-old daughter who passed away from a very rare brain tumor. She was only 12 years old, and her name was Sarah. And she fought a very courageous battle, but unfortunately didn't win. And this was over 7 years ago. And after she passed away, the very next night, I had a dream. And Sarah came to me in the dream, and she was free from pain. She was twirling around in a meadow filled with wildflowers. And she looked at me and she said, "Suzanne, I have fairy wings instead of angel wings, because fairy wings are so much easier to run and play around the meadow in."
Oh, okay.
So after
I like
had that
turn
dream,
a negative into a positive. And that's what I do here on the Clever Minds Radio talk show. And that's what caught my aspect. This is a very, very lovely book, and I like the way it is. And you took a negative, and you made something very positive out of it, and you contributed back to society. Did you have a lot of help with this, or did you do it on your own?
You know what? I had an absolutely amazing illustrator. Her name was Chantelle T. Gabriel, and she actually won a bronze medal in the Summit Awards for the cover of the book. She helped make each and every one of the fairies in the book come to life, but I actually did the entire book and published it, but I went through about six different editors to help me get the book right.
Oh, you did, huh? Was it hard?
You know what? It was a labor of love.
A labor of love? I've had that as well, too. Now, tell us, tell me this, ma'am. Why should people read this book, and why should they pay attention to what you're bringing out there to us today?
Well, the messages in the book, although they are for children, I've had many adults come to me and say that the book has helped them through a really difficult time that they've been going through. The messages are very light. They're all done in poem format, but they are very succinct and to the point. Children get it right away. They totally understand. And as I said, adults really seem to enjoy the message that's in the book. And it also provides a talking point with adults and their children to talk about the environment and to talk about anti-bullying and to talk about respecting ourselves.
I see. I was reading some things here. You're a survivor beating breast cancer, huh?
No, not breast cancer. It was skin cancer.
I'm sorry?
It was skin cancer, not breast cancer.
Oh, I apologize. That's my mistake. I'm totally sorry. So beating the odds of that, how did you turn that negative into a positive with that aspect?
Well, you know, when you first hear the cancer word, you kind of go into a tailspin. And what helps is basically knowledge. Knowledge is power. And when you know what you're up against, then it's much easier to deal with. And I was incredibly, incredibly blessed. They found my cancer very early. I only needed to have surgery. I didn't have to do chemotherapy. I didn't have to do radiation. And I also did not realize how incredibly lucky I was until I went in for the ultrasound to check my organs, because with skin cancer, the type of skin cancer I had was malignant melanoma, and it's the most aggressive of all skin cancers. And the radiologist, when she was working on me, said, "You don't know how incredibly lucky you are. You have angels watching over you."
Oh, God bless. So, God bless. Now, I'm going to have you back on again this Sunday on my show on KLAV, 1230 a.m., and we're going to get really more in-depth with you. It's going to be 6:30 Pacific Standard Time. You can catch me. But what I want to know right now is this. What benefits have you found in writing this book?
Oh, my goodness. That's a loaded question. I left the corporate world to follow my heart and to write this book. And this book has also given me the inspiration to go and talk to others about the importance of living your dreams now instead of putting them on hold till later, because later may never come. And that has been the greatest gift to me.
Can you tell my audience who you are, please, and how to get in touch with you?
Sure. My name is, I have a long handle here. It's Suzanne Alexander Heaton. And my website is www.abcfairies, and that's FAERIES.com. The reason the fairies is spelled that way is it's the old spelling of fairies. I'm also on, I blog, I Twitter, I'm on Facebook, and I'm on LinkedIn. So it was interesting listening to Eric talk. I got a few good pointers from him when he was talking.
Eric's my man. That's why I had him on today. I thought she'd get a kick out of that. Everybody needs to understand about blogging and get things out. And I'm going to feature you a lot more because I like turning negatives into positive. And one thing that I've kind of shied away from on the Clever Minds Radio talk show, by the way, I am Mr. Z. This is my talk show. I turn a negative into a positive. I have to realize one thing. We all live life. We all have obstacles we go through and deaths. And I just don't want to ignore these things, but I want to be able to bring to the forefront, you can turn a negative into a positive. Is that right, Susanna?
That is absolutely correct, Mr. Z.
Okay. And do you have anything else you want to tell me before I, because I want to keep some of my meat of my story for you for this Sunday. Do you have anything else you want to tell my audience before I let you go this morning?
I just want to say I absolutely love what you're doing, because I totally believe in the turning the negative into the positive. And two, about you talk about your dreams come from hard work and equal play, and that's something I talk about when I speak about the importance of having balance in our life and just slowing down and enjoying life and being in the present. So my hat's off to you for what you're getting out there.
Oh, you read my webpage a little bit there, huh?
I did.
I'm featuring everybody on my webpage as well, too, and I'm going to be putting links up. I'm building it on my own. I had Libby Gill on earlier this week, and she's going to help me out, too, as well, too.
And I have Eric help me out as well, too. So, Eric, if you want to give this lady any pointers, Eric, what kind of pointers could you give this lovely lady and about bringing her to the audience to the forefront about what she's doing charity-wise?
Well, you were talking about the United Way and the people with or your friend's daughter. You could find people who are dealing with cancer, and you can find them either because they've put that in their bio and, you know, you can reach out to them personally, or you can reach out to any of the other nonprofits that might hold conferences or informational sessions where you could be a speaker there as well.
Oh, okay.
You could also reach out to groups that deal with families who are dealing with the loss of loved ones and tell them about your own work and what you've done and even point them to your website. They can, you know, then turn around and bring you in as a speaker, as a fundraiser, use your own book as sort of their inspiration and their way of dealing with their own losses.
Because I like the aspect that even though she had a tragedy in her life, I had a tragedy recently in my life. My mother passed away, and I hadn't had time to mourn yet. But I've taken her passing as a negative but made it out of a positive to inspire me to get my dreams together and to do things and reach out to people in the world, such as my audience, to let them know there are people here for you. I'm not trying to sell any wares to anybody. I'm not here pitching any self-help guru stuff to anybody like that. I'm out here, every author I have on the show, I have a book in my audience. Anybody wants a book from anybody I have in my audience, feel free to give me a call on my personal cell, 702-771-8450, or email me at mrz@cleverminds1.com, or call BBS Radio. And I will send them a book or anybody I have one. I give them a free copy of anything. I don't like selling, promoting anything that I think is going people are going to have to shell a lot of money. Life is too complicated for me all the time to trying to manipulate the system. But now here is something. This is on my own dime. So if anybody wants to help me with my radio show, I would truly appreciate that. You hear that pitch, guys? I'm just joking.
Yeah.
Well, Eric, I appreciate you being on my show today. Suzanne, I appreciate you being on my show today as well. Suzanne, I'm going to let you go because I'm going to have the meet of you on my show on this Sunday. And I want to let everyone know that she's going to be a very inspiring guest for me on my 12:30 a.m. here in Las Vegas, Nevada. And Ms. Heath, can you tell us who you are again and how to get in touch with you before I let you go?
Sure. It's Suzanne Alexander Heaton. And it's www.abcferries, and that's FAERIES.com.
All right. Thank you very much. And I really appreciate you being on today. And I will talk with you at the top of the hour on this Sunday here on KLAV Las Vegas, Nevada. That's www.KLAV1230am.com. And you can reach me there. I'll be there this Sunday morning with this lovely lady as the author. And thank you very much for calling in this morning, ma'am. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Mr. Z. It's been a real pleasure.
Do me a favor before you leave. Give me something inspiring going through a day today. A challenging, inspirational thought. Can you give me something?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because this morning I dumped one of my teacups in my office all over my paper, and I thought, okay, I can look at this as a negative or a positive. And the positive is, okay, it's time to clean up the papers. And
gotcha.
I thought, it's so ironic that I'm going on your show today.
Oh, I thank you for that. Well, I'll talk with you later, and God bless, and have a blessed day, okay?
Same to you, Mr. Z.
I'll talk with you soon. This is Mr. Z. I am the host of the Clever Minds Radio Talk Show, where we turn a negative into a positive. And I thank my audience for being here with me Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. You will catch me on a consistent basis. I love BBS Radio because basically they're giving me the opportunity like no one else has to do my Ustream feed and see me personally live. This show is not about me. My show is about my authors and my audience. I'm just in the middle, man. And my opinions, I have them, but I don't like to weigh them on too many people because, hey, you have your own thoughts. I cannot prescribe anything to you but a smile and a song in your heart and bring business to you
an inspiration to you on a weekly and a daily basis, hopefully. And if you want to tune in, just catch me. I'm going to start blogging more, too, as well, as Eric said. Now, Eric, in closing today, give me some business savvy stuff that I think that I have not covered with you that you want my audience to hear about.
Give me a little more.
Okay, here's what I want to get. Here's what I want to get you. Okay. Is it too daunting to take on that task of social media, or can someone just take the ABC steps of social media, and what should they do?
It's not too daunting. I think it's pretty easy, and that is one of the things that we try to do is spell out the steps that people can take, and we kind of started with one task, one tool, and get you started with that, and then you can move on to the next one. And really, the cool thing about social media is that there's no step 1, 2, 3. You don't have to do something first. You don't have to start a blog first. You can start Twitter first. You could be on LinkedIn first. You could be on Facebook first. Just get into it and use it and get comfortable with it. And then when you feel like it, do something else. You may find that you like to blog and you don't care if people read it, so you put it out there and you're just constantly putting out new content and decide one day, I want more people to read this. And a lot of my friends are on Facebook, so I'm going to join Facebook so I can tell my friends about this. Or you may find that, you know, I'm on Twitter and I've got a lot of things to say and I can't limit these ideas to 140 characters, so I'm going to start a blog as a way to share that information. And so just pick one. Like I said at the beginning, these networks have made things easy to do. So just pick one, jump into it. There's no wrong way of doing anything. Just see what works, what doesn't work, and get started.
Okay, now here we go. I'm going to be letting you go momentarily. What is the best blog service to go through?
My favorite platform is WordPress. If you go to WordPress.com, you can sign up for a free platform, and they host it for you. They handle the server. They maintain everything for you. However, I think the best one out there is if you go to WordPress.org, and that is the version of WordPress that you can download and stick on a server. Now, you need some more technical knowledge to do that, or you need to know somebody who can do that for you, and you'll have a monthly server fee. But WordPress itself is free, and it's very robust. It's very customizable. There are all kinds of widgets and plugins that you can use to do some pretty cool stuff with WordPress, but that's the one that we use for all of our clients and the one that I use for the most part. For somebody who wants to try something new, though, there's Posterous, which is spelled posterous.com, and that lets you submit blog posts by email. It's actually kind of cool. I've been playing with that for a few months, and I really like that one.
Oh, okay. Well, Eric, I'm going to ask you a favor. I'd like to utilize you as one of my tools on the Clever Minds Radio Talk Show to help people out in the business world when I have them wanting to get to the next level of life. Because I think a lot of tools are not offered to people, and I think you're an asset to the community with letting people know about branding yourself. Would you be able to come back on again and help people brand themselves?
Sure, I'd be glad to.
I appreciate it. Folks, I'm going to let Eric go. And Eric, in closing, please tell us how to get in touch with you. And I have books for anybody who wants books. Tell us how to get in touch with you, please, Eric.
Sure. Go to edeckers on Twitter. It's twitter.com/edeckers. You can go to ericdeckers.com, ericdeckers. And that's my personal blog. Or go to problogservice.com, and that's my work blog. And I talk about personal branding and social media. While one other website, you can go to brandingyourselfblog.com. That's where Kyle and I have been talking about the book, answering questions, giving advice. If anybody wants to write in with a question there, we'll turn it into a blog post and answer their question for them and anybody else who reads it.
All right, Eric. I appreciate you being on the show today. This has been the Clever Minds Radio Talk Show, folks. I am Mr. Z. God bless. Eric, I'll talk with you real soon. I appreciate all the input you gave me today, and I'll see you guys real soon on Monday. You folks have a blessed, wonderful day. And, hey, everybody, turn that negative into a positive. Smile. Find that song in your heart. I'm out of here. Later, people. Thank you, Eric.